Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello, and thanks for joining us for another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and it's great to be with you once again. While rising interest rates have undoubtedly increased the financial burden on households with a mortgage, they've provided a welcome boost for Australians holding cash in a savings account. Well, after, it's fair to say, years of meagre returns, that is. So today we'll be delving into one of my favourite topics, the world of savings. So among other things, we'll be checking in on some of the most competitive interest rates on the market at present and taking a look at how to choose an account that actually matches your needs. And to help us dive into those subjects and more, I am pleased to say that we are joined today by someone who knows more than a thing or two about savings. It's money expert at Finder, Alison Banny. Alison, welcome to the show. And thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You are very welcome. Alison, to start us off, can you give us a general idea of how interest rates on term deposits and savings accounts have changed over the past year?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So as you said, it's definitely the good news story out of all these rising rates. So this time last year in early 2022, the best saving rates that you could find were around 1.5% or so. And that's sort of the best. So a lot of them were a lot lower than that. If you found an account paying over 2%, that was a big deal a year ago. Now the best savings rates are around 5%. So a pretty big jump in the last 12 months. This is because the RBA has increased the cash rate 10 times since May last year. So it's gone from 0.10% to 3.6%. And because the cash rate has increased so much, so have home loan rates, which, you know, is not great news for people with a home loan, but at the turn of the coin, yeah, savings rates have also gone up. So good news for people with money in the bank.
Absolutely. So I guess more importantly, Alison, which banks are offering the best interest rates on savings account at present? And you gave us a rough indication there, but what kind of rates are we talking about?
Yeah, so at the moment, the best rate that you can get is 5.15%, and that's with Bank of Queensland Future Saver account. So this account is only for people aged 14 to 35, and it's only for balances up to 30K. So there are some limitations, that high rate, and you do have to meet the conditions. You have to deposit $1,000 a month and make five purchases a month from your linked debit card. The next in line would be ING, Savings Maximizer. That's at 5%. This account's great because there's no age limit and you can get the high rate on balances up to 100K, so a much wider balance there. You do still have to meet the same conditions, which is the $1,000 monthly deposit and five purchases. And then we've got Rabo, High Interest Savings Account with Rabobank. So that is 5% as well. But unlike ING, this is only an intro rate. So you get it for the first 4 months of opening the account. So it's only for a short amount of time, but there are no conditions at all to meet with this one. And you can earn it on balances up to 250K. So, yeah, it's good if you happen to have 250K.
Let's hope a lot of the listeners out there do have 250K that they want to put in their savings account then.
Yeah, it's a good option.
How about term deposit rates though, Alison? I feel like they're kind of often neglected or left in the background a little bit, but how are they faring at the moment?
Yeah, you're right. Term deposits are something that, I don't know, I think people sort of tend to think they're for older people, but they've actually got some pretty good rates. So they're quite similar to savings. So the best on the market is 5%, say again, that's with Judo Bank. But the thing is with term deposits is that you have to lock your money away and those higher rates. So that 5% rate with Judo is for five years. So I guess when you're comparing that, you know, locking your money away for five whole years to get 5% versus meeting some monthly conditions to get the same rate, but having full access to your money with a savings account, I think that's why a lot of people tend to sort of opt for a savings account. That said, you know, they could be great options for people that don't want to meet those monthly conditions or, you know, they just want a set and forget option. If you've got a big wad of cash that you just want to get a secure return on, then yeah, it's good for people like that.
Absolutely. I guess while we're still on interest rates, Alison, this is a bit of a sidebar, but I feel like we should probably touch on the ACCC's inquiry into deposit rates. So can you fill us in on what's happening on that front for anyone that may have missed that news and I guess what it could mean for savers?
Yes. So at the moment, the ACCC is looking into how the Australian banks are setting their interest rates for savings products in light of all the cash rate increases that we've just had. So basically each month when the RBA lifts the cash rate, most banks are really quick to pass on the full rate rise to their home loan customers, which obviously brings in more money for the banks. But they've been much slower to pass on the rate rises to their savings products, which obviously means they have to pay out money to customers. So some, for example, will, you know, the day that the RBA lifts the cash rate, the banks will announce that day that they're passing on the full 0.25% rate rise to their home loan customers. But then they might say take a month or two to pass it on to their savings accounts. And when they do, they might only pass on a bit of that rate rise, say 10-15% to their savings accounts. And another thing the ACCC is looking into in this inquiry is the fact that some banks will pass on the rate rises to one of their savings accounts, but not all of them.
Mm.
So banks might have a few different savings account products on offer, and they might pass it on to, say, their bonus savings accounts where there's all these conditions attached to earn the rate, but then not pass it on to their sort of standard savings accounts that you don't have to meet any conditions for, which is where actually a lot of people have their money. So, yeah, the banks, the ACCC is just looking into that at the moment to see what's going on, and hopefully it will pressure the banks into lifting their rates. They can't actually force the banks to do that. I mean, they're companies, they exist to make a profit as well, but it will certainly put a lot of pressure on them to do so. And we've already seen since the inquiry has been announced, we've seen particularly the big banks all quickly lift their savings rates.
Well, fingers crossed that that continues then, because I recently had a conversation with someone who was on with an account with one of the with the larger banks that definitely wasn't getting those increases in line with increases to the cash rate, and their rate was definitely more of a 2022 savings rate than a 2023 savings rate, if that makes sense.
Yeah. there's a lot around still. Yeah, that are, sub 1% or so. So, yeah, it's don't be fooled into thinking that you're automatically getting these rate rises.
Excellent point. Yeah. Obviously, there are some pretty decent rates around at the moment. At least in the context of recent years. But how should we be thinking about them? And I guess thinking about keeping money in a savings account in general, in the context of the current environment where inflation is so high.
Yeah, it's a good question. So savings rates, they have gone up quite a bit, but so has inflation. In fact, inflation's gone up more. So I think inflation's sitting at about 7.8% as of December, which means that the cost of living has, basically gone up 7.8% over the past year. So this means that your money is worth less, basically.
Mm.
So in dollar terms, like $100 worth of groceries 12 months ago will now cost you almost $108 for the same thing. So I'm sure we've all noticed this. Everything's getting really expensive. It's been happening for a while. So with that in mind, because your money is worth less, if it's just sitting in a regular bank account earning no interest at all, it's actually effectively going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of worrying. Finder data found that 1 in 2 Australians still just use their basic transaction account to store their savings.
Wow, so really?
That's a lot of, it's a lot of people getting literally 0% on their money. And in light of inflation at the moment, it's actually their buying power is going down. So putting it into a savings account and earning 4-5%, it's not quite keeping up with inflation, but it's certainly much, much better than nothing or having to sit in a regular bank account.
Yeah, geez, I would never have expected that number to be so high in terms of the people keeping money in a transaction account. But yep, just goes to show if you have a savings account that's earning a better rate, might as well pop your money in there. It's up to you, but it might be a good option.
Yeah, I mean, there are other things as well. A lot of people have you know, probably thinking, well, what about shares? They, you know, typically deliver a higher return, which is true, but it's over the long term. So, you know, if you look at the past year, I think the share market's actually fallen in Australia. So, yeah, it's not going to help you with the day-to-day sort of cost of living issues right now, but definitely a good long-term way to build your wealth.
Absolutely. Alison, taking a bit of a step back here, I think most people, you know, hopefully listening are aware of the basic concept of a savings account, which is, you know, a place where they can park their money in return for an interest rate. But something I wasn't aware of until I guess I started reporting on finance initially is that there are actually different types of savings accounts out there, at least when it comes to how interest is earned and dished out. So what kind of accounts are out there and how do they differ? And I guess which ones may be a good fit for different types of savers?
Yeah. So as we were saying before, the banks offer a couple of different savings products, and a lot of people might not even realize this, and they might, you know, be sitting in a savings account and not even realize that their bank offers a different one with a higher rate. So with savings, there's, I'd say we can narrow it down to two different types. So the first type would be intro savings accounts, or sort of just standard savings accounts. So these products usually offer a higher rate initially, so maybe for the first 4 to 5 months after opening the account. And then after this period, the rate will drop down to their standard variable rate, which will usually be much lower. It's not nothing. It's probably, say, 3%. So you're still, getting a bit of a return. The appeal of these accounts is that they usually don't have conditions to meet. So you can put your money in there, earn that high rate at the beginning, and then when it drops down, you just earn the standard rate ongoing what's in the account, and you don't have to worry about, you know, making deposits or growing your balance or things like that that some people might not want to do. But the downside is that, the rates are lower. So it could suit you if you've got a chunk of money, say you've sold an asset or you've, you know, inherited something, or you've got a work payout, something like that, and you just want to put it in account for a while and not have to maintain it ongoing, but earn a bit of a return. So, yeah, could be good for those. And then the other type of account would be bonus saver accounts. So these accounts offer higher bonus rates ongoing, so every single month ongoing, but there are conditions to meet to earn it. So usually the conditions are you have to deposit a set amount of money per month, and this can vary greatly between accounts. Some ask you to deposit $20 a month, some are $2,000. So, yeah, it's really worth looking at that before you just look at the high rate, because if you can't meet the deposit condition, there's no point really. And you usually have to also link it to a bank account with the same bank and then make a certain number of purchases a month as well. It's usually 5. Not sure why, well, the banks like that number. So, yeah, it's usually 5. So these accounts would be better suited if you want the higher rate, because they do offer higher rates. You just have to work to get it. So good if you've got a regular income, steady job, just deposit your salary, meet that deposit condition quite easily. And, you know, if you're going to use the bank account for day-to-day purchases, it can be quite easy to meet those conditions. So, yeah, these accounts are better if you want to earn more interest, but you just have to keep in mind there are a few things to do to get it. So if you don't meet the conditions, you could earn next to no interest at all.
So watch out for those conditions. I think that's definitely the good takeaway. Definitely. And and listen, there's nothing wrong with a kind of a set and forget option like you mentioned before with the you know, intro rates or more basic accounts if that's what suits as well.
Suit so people. Yeah.
Definitely.
And term deposits again, I'd say are another set and forget option, even more so, because you literally can't touch it. So you have to, lock your money away. You get to choose usually a period between 1 month and 5 years at a time. Typically, you'll earn a better interest rate for the longer terms. But, you can't withdraw your money at all. And if you want to, you have to break your term deposit and you'll lose a bunch of interest and things like that. So term deposits are less flexible in that way, but they're, truly set and forget investment options.
Before we let you go today, Alison, I did want to ask, do you have any tips or recommendations for savers when it comes to, I guess, getting the most out of their accounts?
Yeah, I think my number one tip would be, I kind of touched on this before, but not to fall into the trap of looking just at the account with the highest rate possible, because as I said, they often come with quite a few hoops to jump through. And if you can't meet those conditions, even 1 month, then you'll earn pretty much no interest at all. So it could be worth getting the account, you know, that's two or three from the top, a little bit less interest, but with much easier conditions, because then you'll be able to get the interest rate every single month. Yeah, it's just not worth it if you're going to be stressing yourself out to try and meet these tricky conditions just for a tiny bit more interest. So yeah, that would be my number one tip for savings. In terms of term deposits, I think, again, yes, the longer terms have the better rates, so they can be appealing. But 5 years is a really long time.
It is.
If you're young. And I think, if you're not 100% certain that, you know, you can keep that money locked away for that time, then it's probably worth opting for a shorter term, because you can always reinvest when that term finishes again if you want to. But yeah, 5 years is a long time to lock your money away if you think you might need it in the next few years for a house deposit or something like that. So yeah, I'd probably consider looking for a shorter term, getting slightly less interest, but having that peace of mind that it's not locked away for too long.
Alison, those are brilliant and probably a great place to draw a line under the show today. So thank you so much for joining us. It's been lovely chatting about such a great subject, and one that I love so much.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Before we totally say goodbye, listeners, don't forget that we would love to hear from you if you have any questions, comments, or even story ideas for us. So to send something our way, make sure you use our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And if you're enjoying tuning in to Friends with Money, then you can help support the show by sharing it with a friend, a family member, or even the person that you're sitting next to on the bus right now. If you're inclined to, that is. Or if nobody's sitting next to you, then you can leave us a glowing review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. Last of all, you can keep up to date with all the latest financial news and views on our website by heading over to moneymag.com.au. That's it for this episode of the Friends with Money podcast, though, but we'll be right back in your feeds next week. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.